Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. This is episode number 234, dedicated to this Yankees baseball player who on February 7th, 1949, became the first baseball player to make $100,000 a year, Mr. Joe DiMaggio. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we will be joined by Mr. Garrett Grandy as him and I dive into the Brian Flores NFL lawsuit and also preview this year's Super Bowl. The Brian Flores lawsuit going towards the NFL, things about the Dolphins, things about the Broncos, it's ugly. It's not something you want to have come out right before the Super Bowl is played. But Brian Flores decided this is the perfect time for this lawsuit to go down, for these allegations to come out, and the NFL has to tackle this as well as prepare for the biggest game of the year. I had already scheduled for Garrett to come on the podcast, and also I think he is a perfect person to provide his perspective about the Brian Flores situation with the Dolphins, the Broncos, etc. So I'm going to back away, bring in Mr. Garrett Grandy. You and I take a trip to the northeastern portion of the country to enjoy my fun conversation with Mr. Garrett Grandy about Brian Flores in this year's Super Bowl. And joining us now here on the Jay Stevens Podcast, it is one of my good friends. We've been talking for about 30 to 40 minutes before hitting record on the Zoom call here. It is Mr. Garrett Grandy. We went to college together, and now we are sports friends, sports guys together as well. Garrett Grandy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm Super Bowl week, excited for it. As we were talking about before, just being a fan of the game.
Yeah.
I'm just excited we have these two teams in the game. It's just, there's a lot of intrigue and a lot of storylines and just underdog and the superpower. I'm excited for it. So Super Bowl week is one of my favorite. It's like a holiday for me, the Super Bowl. So I feel like a kid on Christmas morning. I'm excited about the game coming up next week.
I'm excited there with you. For those of you that have not put in your PTO time yet on the Monday after the Super Bowl, I encourage you to do that now, because your boss may see it and still say it's too late, but or find a way to say, oh, well, I got a cough. Let's use a COVID excuse. I'm not coming into work the day after the Super Bowl. It's unfortunate, though, that the NFL is going through some major allegations, a lawsuit that I do think could at times cloud how good of a game we're going to watch coming up on this upcoming Sunday. Brian Flores, the former coach of the Miami Dolphins, who did a really good job with that team, building them up, first back-to-back winning seasons since 2003, to talk about how the Dolphins have been bad since Dan Marino left, and now they're on the come up, but then the coach that helped them come up is no longer there. There was a lawsuit. There's four allegations that are found in said lawsuit that I think we would be stupid to not go any further without discussing this topic, because this is huge, this is monumental, and this could be something that does shake up or change the NFL. One of the four things Brian Flores has put in the lawsuit, that's allegations in this lawsuit going towards the NFL and the Dolphins, Flores alleges that he was pushed to tank the Dolphins and was offered $100,000 for each loss in order to improve their draft position. Number two, Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, wanted Flores to reportedly tamper with Tom Brady. We all hear about tampering in the NBA. Tampering is also illegal in the National Football League, but we also know that it happens. Brian Flores also says the Giants hired Brian Daboll before Flores was ever interviewed for the job. Bill Belichick, congratulated Flores on getting the job before realizing he had texted the wrong coach. Now, this is kind of funny. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, Bill Belichick, old man, getting his phone out. All of a sudden, he realizes he's texting Brian Flores, not Brian Daboll.
He's 70 years old, man. He's 70. You got to give him, you got to cut him some slack.
And he might have the ancient
flip phone, you know. And he can't. Oh, what's his name? Oh, Brian. Brian, which one? Dumble? Oh, Daboll. No, Flores.
Old man.
Bill. I don't know if he has Gumball in his phone, but he might.
Old man, Bill. The last little thing in this lawsuit, not little, but is big. The lawsuit claims the Broncos were unprofessional and unprepared in a 2019 interview. Flores suit, the Flores suit details a meeting between the coach and the Denver Broncos in 2019. In it, there's an allegation that both team CEO John Ellis, as well as John Elway, arrived 1 hour late to the interview, to interview Flores, and appeared intoxicated. We have all heard about how owners, they're millionaires, billionaires, they do whatever they want. They might have pill problems, or formerly pill problems, like Jim Mercer, the owner of the Colts, or they just might have that bottle in their hand a little bit too much. That's bad. That's a bad look. But I went through all four of those on purpose because this is how severe this lawsuit is towards the NFL. When I first heard about the lawsuit, Garrett, I thought it was just attacking the Dolphins and the National Football League, not the Broncos. You bring another team into everything. And then we've heard all this talk about the Rooney Rule. We'll get into that in a little bit. This is ugly. This is a bad look, and it's bad. It's really bad. It's coming right before the Super Bowl is played.
I think, you know, there's a lot. There's a lot here. For me, that, you know, it's like with the NFL, it's like the gift that keeps on giving. You think, you know, the season's ending. We got the Super Bowl. We won't be talking about the NFL for at least a few months. Nope. We're going to be talking about the NFL even after the Super Bowl's long and gone for till next year. Brian Flores, when he was originally fired, it was such a shock at the time. We're thinking, here's a guy that he beats Bill Belichick. I think 3 out of 4, the last 4 times the Patriots have played the Dolphins, they've beaten us. That's an accomplishment. You're talking about 20 plus years where, you know, that hadn't happened. The Dolphins were, I think, what, 1-7 at one point, or 1-6, went on a 7-game winning streak, got back into the playoff hunt, beat the Patriots in the last game of the year. And you're thinking, wow, here's a team, like you mentioned, is on the up and up. All the draft moves that they were able to make, brilliant moves, got all the first round picks that they got. They were actually, you know, they drafted Tua, and people have things to say about Tua that were negative. I think he's an okay quarterback. I don't think he's ever going to be great. Mm-mm. I don't think he's terrible. Mm-mm. You know, he made some but he has to improve. And I think somebody like Flores was helping him improve. He was getting better. Getting better at not turning the ball over. So here's a younger coach, a defensive-minded coach with these young players. I thought it was a perfect situation. I thought Miami with Flores next year probably is a playoff team competing in the – people were saying, you know, it's the Patriots and Bills, but the Dolphins were right there too. Maybe they could make a run at that division now. So now you're talking 3 teams going back and forth for that division crown. Then he gets fired, and you're thinking – why? What a dumb firing. And well, now we know why. Maybe the owner saw that this was coming, fired him in hopes that Flores, you know, is going to keep his mouth shut. No, he obviously didn't. So it was a shocking firing at the time, but now it makes a whole lot more sense with this lawsuit coming out. I have to applaud Brian Flores because really, he is putting his career on the line. Mm-hmm. I watched the interview on Get Up, I think it was. It was like a 20-minute interview. Mm-hmm. I think he, because this is a legal lawsuit, he only has a certain amount of time probably. He can actually – his lawyers are allowing him to say things. And when I was watching the interview, every so often I think the lawyer would kind of interject or – kind of steer the conversation, if you will, so he's not saying certain things. So we're not getting everything. So I'm looking forward to the trial, if you will. So, because I think there's going to be a whole lot more coming out than we even imagine that they're not saying. But this stuff that's coming out about Denver, the owner of the Dolphins tanking on purpose, is a horrible look for the NFL. I mean, you had the Ray Rice situation, you had Spygate, Deflategate, Bountygate. Those were all, you know, bad looks. But this to me is a little bit different because now we're talking about social issues, social justice issues. It's Black History Month. And here you have a African-American coach who's basically accusing the league of racist tendencies, which we've known exist for a long time. But now we actually have somebody saying that's not a player like Colin Kaepernick was. But here's a coach who could, yeah, he could shut his mouth. He could have easily gotten another job. He would have made his money, been a good coach for another team. But here's a guy who's saying, no, I have staff members who are African-American. I know other African-American coaches. I know African-American college coaches, you know, youth coaches. I'm looking out not just for me, but for them too. And so this guy is, you know, we're going to look back probably maybe in 20, 30 years and say, here's a guy who put his career on the line for the benefit of others. We have to give him a standing ovation, because I would, if I was able to give him, I would, you know, shake his hand and say, good for you. You know, you're doing something that not many people would do, to put your name out there and put your name on the line, your legacy on the line like this, because, you know, in a trial, they're going to cross examine and they're going to say, well, you said this, why did you say this? Why did you even interview in the first place after the fact, knowing that, you know, they had already hired Daboll? There's a lot of questions there, but kudos to him for at least putting this issue back at the forefront where it should be. We have a league where 50, I think it's like 57 or 58% of the players are African-American, but like, I think five coaches out of 32 teams, it might be four. Less than five now, where we have an African-American coach. So you have a majority of the players are African-American, but yet your coaches are majority are white. And that, as we talked about, you know, off camera here, it has a lot to do with ownership, I think. And I think also a systemic problem in the NFL, as I mentioned to you before, is the nepotism, is that you have, for example, my team is the Patriots. Here you have a guy like Steve Belichick. How in the world is he calling defensive plays when you have Jerod Mayo,
right,
who is a head coach candidate right now?
Yeah,
who is an excellent defensive player, who's your linebackers coach for the last several years? Why not promote him? And I've actually looked at the history of even the Patriots. Did you know that besides Romeo Crennel, way back in, was it 2001, 2002? He hasn't had, actually it was Flores, but you know, Flores was the defensive coordinator, but he was never given the title. So why is it that you have McDaniels, he leaves, comes back, he gets the offensive coordinator title, but why is it that you didn't give Flores that defensive coordinator title? Why is it that we only have, and look how much scrutiny someone like Mike Tomlin to me is under more scrutiny maybe than any other coach in the NFL. Because, yeah, could Bill Belichick lose the next 5 years and still keep his job? Probably. But, man, if Tomlin doesn't have a winning season, people are like, oh, time to get rid of him. The man's never had a losing season, ever. But that's impressive. But let's say if next year they do go 4-13, people will say, oh, time to get rid of Tomlin. They don't give the grace and the space for a rebuild to a black coach that they give to the white coaches. So I think there's a whole, that too, the media plays a big role in it too. Sorry, I keep going and going.
No, you're fine. That was good stuff. One thing I will say though about this, and you and I talk a lot about this stuff off, well, just in text messaging and things. But when it comes to the whole, I can't tackle everything you just went through. But when it comes to Garrett, the black coaches that are working their way up the ranks, say high school level to college level, maybe lower level college, they work their way up from D3, D2, D1. You might be, say, a mid group of five school, then a power five school, work your way up to the NFL. I don't find many black guys that are at that lower level high school level. I go to a lot of high school athletic events, football, basketball, primarily men's, boys basketball, not girls, not sexist. It's just, boys are more entertaining to watch. And so when I'm at these games, it's rare that I see many black coaches. If I do see black coaches, they're older. It's rare that I see, if I go to a college game, black coaches. If I do, they're assistants. Now, college basketball, you will see quite a few black coaches, But the black coaches in college, they stay in college. No, this is basketball I'm talking about now. They stay in college. When you go to college football, you have – think about Big Ten. Maryland has a black coach. Michigan State has a black coach. I think those are the only two black coaches in Big Ten football. You don't see many black guys working their way up the ranks. Is it one, the athletic directors at the college, at the high school level don't want to hire them? I don't think that's true, because I think a lot of these inner city schools want to hire black men because that's probably the best person to communicate with these young black men in the inner cities or even in the suburbs. A lot of black people are moving out of the city into the suburbs. Why not get a black coach that can communicate to every person? I don't find a lot of black men in football specifically. That's a conversation we're having, working their way up the ranks like the white guy is.
And they're not even given an opportunity.
That is exactly it. Am I mad at the athletic director for not hiring them? I mean, the black man has to sell himself in the interview automatically. We know this. I've interviewed at numerous places. I know going into it, it's a mindset. I have to wow the interview, blow their socks off. Why? Right. That's just the nature of the beast. I don't complain about it. I don't get mad about it. I don't go to my friends and be like, man, I didn't get the interview. Why? Man, because I'm black. No, it's because I did not wow the interview. Because I know in myself, as a black man, I have to wow myself in the interview. If it doesn't happen, okay, they're going to go to somebody else. Now, when you think about the Bill Belichick text message, oh, is this Brian Daboll? No, it's Brian Flores. That's interesting, because that goes into the Rooney Rule, which at that point, the Giants are simply trying to follow the NFL policy.
Yeah.
The NFL policy, I think, is stupid. And then people saying, oh, the Rooney Rule is great. No, the Rooney Rule is simply – I'm not married. You are. Yeah. You get up in the morning. Your wife gives you this to-do list, honey-do list. You got five different things on it. Well, one of those things is Rooney Rule. Make sure you interview a minority candidate, not black, a minority candidate. This time, this guy is black. So you got, okay, I got that there. I got that there, that there, that there. The last thing there is the Rooney Rule. You don't want to do the Rooney Rule because you know in your heart you're not going to hire that guy anyway, because the best candidate in your mind that fits you best, maybe not being the best, most qualified, but the guy that you think is going to be the best guy for the job is the white guy that you've already interviewed. But you still have to do the Rooney Rule because it's on the honey-do list. At that point, you check that off. But then it's like, I'm only doing this because the NFL is telling me I need to. I don't know, Garrett, if there's a way for the NFL to put a rule in place to force people to hire guys that are minority or that are black. I don't know. They've tried this incentivizing thing, which I forgot about, where if you – hire a minority candidate. I don't think it's black picks. Guy. I think it's minority candidate. You get draft picks. I think that's bribery. I think that's stupid. I think that there's a lot of things that the NFL is doing to try to save face, to try to be good in the court of public opinion. I don't know one thing. One thing I do know, Garrett, I'm going to turn this back over to you. We're not done with this conversation. But one thing I do know is that me as a black man, you as a white guy, we're not racist at all. But we're going to hire somebody. If we're in a place of higher up management, we're hiring people, we're going to fit somebody, especially if it's an office setting, that I think is going to work best with me. A lot of these owners, 70, 75, 80 years old, they're going to hire people based off things that they have learned when they were younger, things that may be in their culture. And a lot of them are going to hire white males because they feel they can work the best with that person. They might not be the best person for the job, but they're going to hire that person because they feel that they can work best with that person. It may take another 20, 30, 40 years to get some more black or minority owners in there. Also, a lot of people at the high school level to allow these minorities or even black men there to hire them to work themselves up the rank. My high school currently has a black high school football coach, has a black high school basketball coach for the boys level, and a black high school basketball coach at the girls level. All three are black. And I do think there's a benefit to that, but they're working their way up. They've gotten an opportunity. I think it all to me starts at the high school level. And then the black man has to know that when things get rough, you don't just stop, you keep going. It starts at the high school level. It also goes to the ownership of these teams. You're going to hire somebody that best fits you, somebody you think you can work well with. It's unfortunate, Garrett, that some people think that is the right way to go about business without thinking who is the best fit as well as who is the most qualified and who is somebody that's going to help us win. People forget about the winning aspect Sometimes owners don't even care about the credibility. All they care about is who they can work with the best, and that's where we are right now. I hate the Rooney Rule talk. I absolutely despise it because I think that the average individual, average human being, the average person in sports media comes off and says things that are stupid about the Rooney Rule, not realizing teams are following that rule. It's the rule that is stupid, and the rule cannot fix anything. It's just a matter of time. Just like with Martin Luther King, when he got assassinated, there are things that are still being worked on to this day that he tried to get fixed in the 60s and the 50s. Things take time. Over time, there will be improvements. It's just really weird that the time that people are calling for improvements is right now. And I don't think that right now the people that are at the top are going to make those improvements as quickly as fans, you and I, would like for them to make them.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Rooney Rule being a ridiculous – it's a ridiculous rule. It is a ridiculous rule. And I can't speak for the feelings of African-American people, but I think we're saying we don't want to be treated differently, but yet you're still treating us differently by rewarding teams when you hire a black coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're still, in a way, you're not discriminating in a bad way, but you're still, if you remember the movie, Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
Remember in the movie, Remember the Titans, when the white coach there, he was coddling the black players.
Coach Yost or the assistant coach.
What was the name of Denzel? What was the actual name of the coach? I'm sorry.
Coach Boone. Remember.
Boone, thank you.
Yeah.
Boone, when Coach Boone would get on to the black players, Coach Yost would come along and kind of like pat him on the back. So it's all right. And Coach Boone, remember in the movie, he pulls him aside and he says, "Hey, don't treat my guys differently than your guys. You know, they don't need to be coddled. They need to be given tough love just like anybody else. And I'm trying to prepare them to become men." So in a way, the white coach thought, "Hey, by me, I'm showing I'm not racist here. I'm giving them love." He was saying, no, don't treat them any differently. We want to be loved and respected, but we don't want to be treated differently in that aspect too. So I think in the same way, you have the same situation where we don't need this Rooney Rule because it's a joke. And yeah, I'm glad that, old man Belichick, as much as people hate him, hey, thankfully he did send out that wrong text message because, I don't know what it is about phones in New England with phones, man. I don't know. Maybe he's like Brady and he destroys his phone every two years. Maybe he's he's not the deflator. Now he's the texter now. So I don't know what it is about phones, but we need to stay away from phones there in New England. We have problems with phones. Anyway, but thank God he did send out that text message because, and I feel bad for Flores because he said in the interview on Get Up, he said, "I was humiliated. This was a humiliating thing for me." And I think that's a motivating factor. Like, I don't want my fellow black coaches to feel the humiliation that I feel and knowing that my interview process is a complete sham.
Mm-hmm.
And now what you're saying about lower level coaches is absolutely right. They need to be given an opportunity to work their way up. But how do we do that? We've talked about this for years. This has been brought up many times. Yeah, it's brought up more now than it has been in the past. But are we just going to have this trial? Maybe he'll get rewarded some money and nothing's going to change.
Probably. That's probably what's going to happen. Yeah.
That's probably what's going to happen. But so what do we do constructively? What can the NFL do? Goodell could really, save his image, if you will, and be looked at as a good guy if he can come up with an actual constructive policy that actually will change things. And that was going to take all the owners are going to have to meet and say, okay, what do we do? And we actually need, I'd like to see Stephen Ross come out and apologize and say, no, this is wrong. We should not be tanking. I should not be paying my coach to tank.
I've heard nothing from him the entire time.
Nothing. And this is damning. This, to me, this is on the, this is cheating. This is on the level of cheating.
And cheating, and fixing games, and the FBI could get involved.
This is, this was what Pete Rose, I mean, is it not what Pete Rose did? I mean, no, he gambled, but did he not affect the outcomes of games because of what he was doing? Can we not say the same? This is the man. Now, if Stephen Ross wants to pay me to lose, I'll lose every game. If you want. I'll go 0-20, man. 0-19. I'll lose every – we'll lose by 50, man, if he wants to pay me $100,000 per game. However, that's pretty bad to tell your coach, hey, now this Sunday I want you – you know, the Jaguars are getting too close to that number one pick now. We need to lose this game. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
If I'm a player, I'm like, I'm out there risking my life and limb to win these games. How is Flores, and what does that tell you about the NFL? How often has this happened?
Probably for years.
How many owners can we look at and say, did you lose that game on purpose? How many games have we seen where a team that we thought they're going to demolish this other team, but they suddenly lose? Why? Now you have to question the integrity of the league as a whole. We're talking about, we know, we were talking about sports betting before we started. Now we've got sports betting that's very, very, very involved now. It's more than ever. More states are legalizing gambling. So now you have to look at that too. How much money was really lost if games are being thrown? Who's losing money and who's gaining money? And so this investigation that they say is independent, because it's always independent, right? how much money is really being lost and won? And now you have to get into that too. So this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. You're not just talking money. You're talking social issues. You're talking ownership. My thinking is the owners have to meet together with Roger Goodell. I think there needs to be some coaches throughout history. You got to get Tony Dungy involved. I think you got to get Marvin Lewis there, Caldwell. There's so many great black coaches that need to rise up now with Flores and say, hey, let's go together as a team to meet with Goodell and lay out a plan for how we let's get rid of the Rooney Rule, or at least tweak it, because I agree.
Yeah.
Yes, you should have to at least interview. I believe the Rooney Rule is two minority candidates.
I thought it was one.
Yeah, I think it's just one. I heard it was okay. We'll have to look that up. But at least I think it should be more than one. I'd like to see maybe if you're going to interview five, maybe be half, three and two, or two. You know, half, at least half should be a minority candidate. I'd like to see maybe. Maybe the NFL hires a representative of all coaches, if you will, or that looks at candidates, coaches, is involved in the process of the hiring.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of they are the ones that make the decision, because ultimately the owner and maybe even the fans can get involved in it, you know, in a way of making the decision as to who is going to be the next coach. Because I think if you interviewed Miami fans, they are ripping mad. They're like, man, we had a great coach, and he's gone. Why don't we have a say in this? So I'd like to see maybe some sort of a representative that when a coach is fired, they are hands-on with the league, is involved, and making sure the process is thorough. Because what happens right now is, okay, we interview a black coach, but ultimately – it's still a bunch of rich white guys behind closed doors. When the interviews are done, they sit down. They're the ones making the decision. Who's best for our image? This young black coach or the white guy has been around for 40 years? Or how about this? Who's better? This young black coach is on the up and up, or your son, John Elway's son, this guy's brother, this guy's cousin. Oh, you know him? Oh, how about this, for example? Who's the quarterback that I think – did he just get hired? He wasn't a good quarterback in the NFL, and I can't think of who it is.
Tommy Lions. Reese.
No, a Lions guy there for years. Ah, I can't think of who it is. He was a high school coach, And now suddenly he's getting elevated to be a coach. I can't think of who it is. I'll look it up. If I say who it is, the name, you'll know who it is. But here, there's an example right there. Well, see, he played. He knows people. He's a cool looking white guy. There you go. We'll hire him. With Flores, who was obviously far, far better option. I'm shocked that someone like Caldwell hasn't had another shot. Marvin Lewis, I will say this, and it may be in a segue to the Super Bowl, but, you know, Marvin Lewis kind of had his hand in this team a little bit too. I mean, we're not talking that far removed from Marvin Lewis to where he was building the team. Yeah, they didn't win any playoff games, but a couple of those games weren't really Marvin Lewis's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the Bengals lost.
Mm-hmm.
They had some collapses there that, I mean, all-time collapses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That Bengals, some of those games that remember Vontaze Burfict, that hit that cost them that game. Marvin Lewis isn't on the field with pads and helmet on making that dirty hit. It's not his fault. So, I mean, yeah. And honestly, if you remember this too, back in the day, Marvin Lewis was treated horribly by the media.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an idiot. He's a terrible coach. But terrible coach. I mean, look at where he brought the Bengals from. They were a laughingstock to where actually for many years the Bengals were a competitive team.
Mm-hmm.
When they had Andy Dalton. Yeah, Andy Dalton, who's not that great. But even Andy Dalton would be in the quarterback. They had Chad Johnson, Huchmanzada. They were a fun team to watch. They weren't horrible. So why hasn't he been given another shot? So I think in summary for me, what can they do to meet together, come up with a plan to expand the Rooney Rule to where it's not a joke? Because I believe that's how Mike Tomlin was hired, was because of that rule. That's kind of how it was all started. So with the Rooney family. So they had that their own rule. And also, like I mentioned before, the nepotism in the NFL was a huge problem. And believe it or not, I forget what I was listening to at the time, but would you believe that not every team in the NFL has a rule against nepotism? Not every team has that rule. Some do, some have it and don't enforce it. Some don't have it at all. So that needs to change too, because you have – for example, I gave you the example with Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Two of his kids are now on the – and guess what? What do you think they played in high school? Not football.
Right.
I mean college. They played lacrosse.
Yeah.
But suddenly they're coaches in the NFL because their dad is a coach. So you have that problem too. You have white head coaches with white family members, with white owners. So we need – also I think we need more black executives, black owners too. That will help too. Getting a few black owners in there, or getting them in the ownership teams and meetings. And I think you're seeing a little bit more of that nowadays with even sports athletes buying teams. I'd like to see maybe some of those athletes get involved with those ownership teams and the NFL. I'd like to see that too. I think would make a difference.
I think it'll make a big difference as well. I know that Marvin Lewis, you talked about him. He made a big difference when the Ravens won their Super Bowl. Was it 2001? I think that season, 2000 or 2001, when the Ravens defense was literally dominant. Trent Dilfer, not a good quarterback in the NFL. He'll tell you that himself. He didn't play very well at all. Well, he played well at the start, but he wasn't really the world beater, an amazing quarterback in the NFL. But it was that defense that Marvin Lewis led, Marvin Lewis coached defense that dominated, destroyed, dominated the Giants in that Marvin Super Bowl. And now we're thinking about this year's Super Bowl when you have a defense in the Rams, a defense in the Bengals that are playing really good football. They're not going to be on the field at the same time, but you also have Matthew Stafford, who I really like. I wish the Colts would have picked him up in the offseason. Of course, they got Carson Wentz, and that's a different story. And then you have Joe Burrow. So you have a guy that came in 2009, Matthew Stafford, first overall pick, versus the first overall pick in Joe Burrow in 2019, I think. And so you have all of these different storylines that are there. And talking about Marvin Lewis, yeah, his from 2001 all the way through even now, his fingerprints are on the National Football League. Super Bowl winning team of the Ravens, this year's team now, you can't get past this team without looking back at what he did, Marvin Lewis did with this team. But Gary, you mentioned something off air, and I went through all that to lead up to saying this. Rams, Bengals. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. I'm not so much excited about the whole conversation we just had for the past 30 minutes about Brian Flores, the Rooney Rule, black men getting treated wrong in the NFL. I'm not really excited about that conversation, but I am excited about this year's Super Bowl because if we're able to watch a game, look at a game, and many people are going to be like you and I, where we have no rooting interest. We're just rooting for a good game, for the Super Bowl to be exactly what the Super Bowl is supposed to be. The halftime show is going to be one that you and I might enjoy because it takes back to our younger days.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to this game because there's so many different pieces, so many different parts, and I like the Burrow-Stafford back and forth we're going to watch on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy for Matt Stafford. And, you know, I was thinking about this today. There's been so much media coverage of Burrow, but there hasn't been a lot said about Stafford. Like, look what he's come from, you know, from the Lions organization, kind of in the desert, if you will. Now he's in Hollywood, and he's had an incredible run in the postseason too. That throw that he made the cup to beat the Bucks. I mean, with the all up, they're supposed to be an all up blitz. I guess some guys missed that assignment, but supposed to be an all up blitz. He just lays it up there. Beautiful throw. I mean, how many years did he lead the league in passing, even with the Lions?
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, like, if I'm going to choose my fantasy quarterback, I always had Stafford on my list, like, because you know he's going to put up numbers. You know he's going to throw 5,000 yards. I think he has the NFL record fastest to, I think it was 30 or 40,000 yards. Possibly. A lot of people don't know that, but he has that record where he's one of the fastest QBs to throw for the Lions. I mean – yeah, he had Calvin Johnson, don't get me wrong, but he has been phenomenal. And I remember too looking at the stats for come from behind victories. He's right up there at the top too for fourth quarter comebacks or game winning drives. Stafford is right up there too with game winning drives and fourth quarter comebacks. So like you said, I'm excited to see that matchup of Burrow and Stafford of the coaches. You got some young coaches. Actually, I think if I remember correctly, it's the youngest combined ages of coaches ever.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl, so that's really cool too. You got McVay, and you got what's the coaches there? I can't think of Nick Wright. Is it
Nick Wright from FS1? The guy you can't stand.
No, I'm not Nick Wright. No, the guy I can't stand. What's the coach's name for the Bengals there?
I think it's Zach Taylor.
Thank you, Zach Taylor. I don't know why the name Nick came in my head.
Because you can't stand him. That's why. That's my guess.
That's why. I knew it was Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor and Sean McVay, two young minds. And believe it or not, the beginning of the year, people were calling for Zach Taylor to be fired.
Yeah, people are too quick with that nowadays.
Week three or week four. I mean, so if this doesn't teach us, like, hey, be patient. Like Rodgers would tell Green Bay, right? Patience. Be patient. We'll get it figured out. So I'm excited for I'm excited for the city, you know, of Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love when that happens, when you can get a team or a city. Cause you know, when you thought of Cincinnati, you thought of, what do you call them? The Boo Boo Bengals, the Bungles, you know?
The Boo Boo Bengals. They were
Boo Boo Bengals.
When I grew up, they were bad. Yeah.
They were bad, horribly bad. So this is cool just to see, like, hey, we have a fresh face and a fresh team in the – I mean, you kind of have here an enemy, if you will, the evil enemy and the good guys. I would look at it and say probably the Bengals are probably the good guys in this movie, if you will, and the Rams are the vaunted Rams. You got Hall of Famers on defense. You got – I would say Stafford probably will get into the – I would say he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. This record, as far as passing yards-wise and stat-wise, he probably will get there eventually. So you've got all those guys that have been around for a long time. Odell, I mean, the storyline with Odell Beckham, I mean, kind of proven like, hey, maybe I wasn't the problem in Cleveland. Maybe it was some other guy Baker. Maybe he was the problem in Cleveland, not me. So look what he's doing in the playoffs. So yeah, like you said, I'm super excited for this Super Bowl.
Garrett, one matchup that I'm looking for, we're going to kind of move quickly through this, the rest of the show. One matchup that I'm kind of looking forward to watching is how the Bengals try to guard or try to block two guys. I know there's more guys at this position group than just two guys. Aaron Donald, Von Miller. That's something I'm very intrigued by. Von Miller, a little bit older, but he's still a dominant force on the football field. You have to know where he is at all times. Aaron Donald, you don't have to look around where he's going to be. He's going to be right in the same spot every play primarily. But he's going to be somebody that if you don't put two guys on Aaron Donald, you might have to go one-on-one with Von Miller. That could be the what derails your offense. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to is how do the Bengals try to block? I like it. I like the background change. How do the Bengals try to block Aaron Donald and Von Miller? I heard somebody earlier say once the Rams got Von Miller, all of a sudden they're going to be Super Bowl winners. Okay, I didn't make that statement. I just try not to go that far. I think the Bengals have what it takes to win in Super Bowl as well. But to me personally, I am a former offensive lineman, played line in high school when I played high school football in middle school. So I do like to watch the battle in the trenches because I know if you don't win that battle in the trenches, you're probably going to lose the game. For me, it's that O-line pass block of Bengals versus the Rams pass rush. What matchup are you watching and are you most intrigued by?
Oh, you just hit it right on the head, man. I already had it prepared. How are they gonna stop this guy right here?
Yeah.
Now, you remember the Titans game.
And for those of you not watching, this guy is Aaron Donald, just to let you know.
9 sacks that Bengals gave up against Titans,
yes,
I believe, tied the NFL record for most in a playoff game. I believe the Rams have a chance to maybe even pass that. I think the Bengals offensive line is so bad. It's so bad that I could see where you could have Burrow running around for his life in this game because the Titans defensive line is good. You've got Pro Bowlers there. You've got good players, but they're not on the level of this guy. People are already talking about Donald as maybe the best defensive player ever. Okay. Now I wouldn't go that far, but I'm just saying this is what I've heard. I think there's Lawrence Taylor might have something to say about that. And there's a few others that, would go into that category. But by the time this guy's done,
is he better than Reggie White at his own defensive line group? Of course, Reggie White. That's what I'm saying. Reggie White's different. Ray Lewis different. Lawrence Taylor different. These are guys that are different. Dick Butkus different. All of these guys are different type of players. So if someone's going to say he's the best defensive player ever,
DJ Watt is the MVP, the defensive MVP, in my opinion, as far as defensive player of the year, I would give it to TJ Watt, but we don't have to have that conversation now, but I would give it to him.
Yeah, yeah.
The man broke the sack record. I mean, goodness gracious. On a terrible team, the man broke the sack record. I don't care what people say. The Steelers were an awful team this year. They have prima donnas at wide receiver. An old, aging, his arm is literally falling off, quarterback, and Big Ben. I mean, give me a break. The fact that they made the playoffs is a miracle. So, anyway, that's besides the point. Right now, I'd probably put Aaron Donald as the best defensive end in the league. I don't think there would be an argument there. Watt would probably be maybe 1B to his 1A, right there. I would put Chandler Jones in that conversation. Yeah. There's a few others that are right there. But I think, I don't know the statistic, but Aaron Donald is double teamed, if not triple teamed, more than any other player, ever.
I believe.
The statistics defensively are insane at the amount of double teams this guy would see. Now, if I'm the Bengals, look back to 2019 when the Patriots played the Rams, whatever they did, Aaron Donald made his presence known, but he wouldn't light up the stat sheet in that game. So what were they able to do? Now, they'd only scored 13 points. But what were they able to do to slow him down? That's what you have to find a way. How can we at least let make it so, yes, Aaron Donald's going to make his impact, but what can we do to just make it so he doesn't wreck the game? So what can we do to where he's, yeah, he might get one sack or two sacks, but we don't want to see him back in every play hitting like he did against Brady and the Bucs. Goodness gracious. He hit, I think he hit Brady on almost every play in that game. Yeah. I couldn't believe, said every play this man has his hands bloodied his lip, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do about Von Miller? Because Von Miller has found his way, you know, has suddenly decreased his age by 5 years, it seems like.
Yeah.
And plus, the matchup that I think will be very intriguing will be Jalen Ramsey probably covering Jamar Chase. So what will we see there? Now, we saw Mike Evans, you know, beat Jalen Ramsey on, you know, maybe on Brady's last throw of his career. But through pretty much through most of that game, Ramsey did a good job. So we'll see. Chase is younger. This is a big spotlight for a rookie. I mean, rookie, in my opinion, rookie of the year. And I'm a Patriots fan. I think Jamar Chase is the rookie of the year. Broke records. So I think he had 226 yards or something like that against
something
the Chiefs.
Crazy. Something crazy.
Something crazy like that. So that's going to be, wow, that's going to be something. And, Ramsey is a talker. So I could see, you know, he's going to be chirping in his ear. He's going to be psyching him out. Man, you're not ready for this moment, kid. You're not ready for this spotlight. I'm Jalen. No, this is Hollywood. This is L.A. This, and I'll give you the stat of the day. Home teams in the Super Bowl are 1-0, man. 1-0. So
you know that, you know. It was supposed to be the Colts back when Indianapolis hosted the Super Bowl 10 years ago, but then you guys had this weird little miraculous season. I think that was the year that the Giants beat you guys. The first time.
The first time. Oh, thank you for reminding me of that. By the way, I saw a video where it was Brady, it was his career, and he's going along and going, and it said Eli Manning incoming, and it was like a speed bump, and it was Brady going over the speed bump, and then couple years ago, when we win a Super Bowl, and then Eli Manning incoming, another speed, you know, like another hole in the pothole on the road of Brady's career. Yeah, but yeah, thank you for reminding me of us losing that Super Bowl. But yeah, I forgot it was at Lucas Oil.
Yes,
I forgot that it was. That's right, it was. So they actually had I think a couple chances to get to a home Super Bowl. Yep. That would have been something to see.
Yeah,
a Colts home Super Bowl, but we're getting another home Super Bowl too this time around.
Yes, we are. You know, Garrett, there are two players on the Bengals offense that I'm watching that aren't Joe Burrow. I think Joey B is going to be fine. I don't think the stage is too big for him. The lights will be too bright for him. I think he's perfectly fine. But I want to know how Joe Mixon and the T. Higgins are going to do in this setting. I think those two guys, you talk about how trying to neutralize Aaron Donald. I think Joe Mixon and his running game and being able to establish a run at some point in the game, establish it early. I think that's one thing that's very, very wise. I think that if you want to use Tom Brady, for example, if Joe Burrow wants to watch a guy that played at numerous Super Bowls and his offense really didn't change drastically that much at all, and how did he do it from early 2000s till now, Tom Brady found a running back, may it be LeGarrette Blount, may it be Leonard Fournette, may it James be Corey Dillon, James White, Kevin Falk.
He had three touchdowns in that Atlanta Super Bowl.
He found running backs that would simply just do their job and establish a running game. And by establishing a running game, it neutralized anything the opposition could do with a defensive line. You're not just worried about one D lineman with the Rams and Aaron Donald. You're worried about two and Von Miller and the other guys that are on that part of the field. And so I really wonder how Joe Mixon and T. Higgins are going to do. Because if those two guys on the offense of the Bengals do their job, do it well, the Bengals can win this thing, maybe by a touchdown. And in this matchup, I think a touchdown either way is going to be huge.
I think
it might be a little bit lower scored than what you think. Because I do think these defenses are good, and so it won't be like a 35-31 Super Bowl. I could easily see it being 20-17.
24-20.
I could easily see it being something like that. On the Bengals side. Now,
Rams don't want to hear that score, bro.
No, they don't. They don't at all.
They don't want to hear 20-17.
what players on the Rams have we not mentioned that you think need to step up and have a big game for the Rams to win?
That's easy. Cooper Kupp.
Ooh,
that's easy, man.
Triple crown, man.
I think there's so many players in this game that are like, ooh, he could be MVP.
Yeah.
He could be MVP. Like, you know, like when it was Patriots or it was Russell Wilson, it was Big Ben, it was Peyton Manning. You knew that if they won, it was probably going to be Manning. It was probably going to be Brady. It was probably going to be that guy, Russell Wilson. But this, to me, this game has so many players that are like, who could – it could be any one of these guys that could just make the play, break off a long – it could be Odell for all we know. You know, it could be somebody that we're not expecting. It could be – I'd like to ask you this because I was thinking about this. You look at the rosters, like the offensive rosters, who do you think – I'll give you my answer, who I think has the better set of receivers and offense. Because you look at Rams, they've got Kupp, Jefferson, Odell. You got Akers is back. Michelle has been actually very good for them. And Higbee. And then you look at the Bengals, they've got Higgins, Chase, Uzama, who's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Mixon's a top 10 running back in the league. Of course, you got the quarterbacks, Burrow and Stafford. It's so hard to me. It may even come down to the kicker. You know, this game is like so evenly – Now, defensively wise, the Rams are obviously superior, but offensively, they're pretty well matched. I mean, you've got a lot of similar pieces here. Chase and Kupp, they kind of neutralize each other. Mixon, Akers, and Michelle. You got Higbee and Uzama are very like similar, good, not great tight ends, but good tight ends. So, and you've got these complementary pieces, and it could come down, like you said, to Higgins. Who's what complimentary piece? I would say Kupp is by far the number one receiver, but what secondary receiver is going to make that play? And the same thing for the Bengals. Chase is by far the number one receiver, but what secondary, whether it's Auden Tate or Higgins, or I think there's somebody else that I'm not thinking of. They have another, you know, they have a good set of wide receivers there. Three or four guys that are barn burners that can beat you. And I like their tight end. I think he's on the up and coming to where he could be in that conversation with Kittle, Kelsey, Waller. Uzama's kind of on the up and up. He could be in that conversation. And who's the guy for the Ravens? I can't think of his name right now, but the guy for the Ravens is in that same echelon of tight ends. Mark Edwards is in that conversation too. So I could see to where Higbee and Uzama are on their rise to where they're with their quarterbacks who they have throwing the ball, they could be in that top 10, top five tight ends in the game. So this is exciting. I'm just like, I have my pick who I think is going to win, but I keep going back in my head. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It could be, this could happen. And I was like, flip a coin. To me, it's like, I don't know the spread. I think the spread is like 3 points, which is basically when you're talking about Vegas, that's nothing.
Right.
There's been Super Bowls where you've had set. I think the Patriots and against the Giants when they were undefeated were like 10-point favorite, might have been 14-point favorites.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous because in a Super Bowl, anything can happen. I mean, you've had miraculous catches, interceptions, onside kicks, missed kicks, block, you know, remember the Manning, the Super Bowl with Manning and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
First snap of the game, the ball goes over Manning's head, safety, then a touchdown. You're like, goodness gracious, how does this happen? Or you never know. I mean, 28-3, they come back. Anything can happen at any moment. A player could get hurt in the first, who knows? Somebody gets hurt, that changes the whole game.
Garrett, so I'm going to give you a player on both offenses that I'm going to be looking for, give you my pick about who I think is going to win, then give yours after that. Got to move quickly to wrap this thing up. On the offense for the Rams, I'm watching Odell Beckham Jr. I do believe Odell is a number two receiver in the NFL on most teams. There are those teams that he might be the number one receiver, but I think it best suits him right now, and especially with the way things went in Cleveland, for him to be the number two receiver. You're going to be guarded by the number two corner. You're not going to be the guy that teams are focused on game planning for automatically. And I think that at this stage in his career, number two receiver is not bad. Like, I'm not going to knock you for being the second best receiver or the number two receiver spot on a team. I think that's a perfect spot for him. I do think Odell Beckham Jr., this is a game where he can remind everybody, more than he already has, he's really good at playing football. On the Bengals, I already mentioned him. I do think it's Joe Mixon. I don't care about any about the other. I don't care about any of the other skill positions. If they can't establish the run, lights out. Game over. They'll lose by 10 to 14 points because the Rams front, Rams pass rush is just too good. I do believe it's Joe Mixon. It could be a 4-point game, 3-point game, or it could be a 10 to 14 point win for the Rams. I do believe that's how important Joe Mixon is for this team. So Joe Mixon on offense for the Bengals, Rams, Odell. I'm going quickly on purpose. I have the Rams winning this one by 4 points. I don't know exactly the score. I'll go 24-20, just to be exact. But I do think it's going to be the Rams winning a Super Bowl. Garrett and I never share picks before we come on shows together. So I have no idea what he's going to say. Garrett, who do you have winning this year's Super Bowl?
Okay, so I want to break it down just like you did. My player to watch, if you will, player defensively, and give you my pick. I think the guy right here is the player to watch in this game.
That's Aaron Donald once again. Aaron Donald.
And the offensive line of the Bengals.
Okay.
And here's how I'm going to break it down, and I think this will reveal who my pick is. In the Tennessee game, they gave up 9 sacks, but the quarterback for Tennessee was one Ryan Tannehill, who threw 3 interceptions in that game.
So bad.
I can guarantee, but let's be real. If you had put any other quarterback, maybe besides Jimmy Garoppolo, any other playoff quarterback on that Titans team in that game, the Titans probably would have won that game. Because some of the throws Tannehill forced in that game were just awful. The interception, really the losing interception that led to the game-winning field goal, was a forced ball. I think if you put Matt Stafford on that Tennessee team, Titans probably win that game. So, therefore, my pick to win, I don't want to pick the Rams because I want an underdog, but I'm going to go with the Rams simply because Matt Stafford
is better
than Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
So
he's good.
Let's change the background here. I got something for you. I told you I had a surprise. So let's see here. How do I do this? Here we go. I got you. So you got the winner of the Super Bowl. The champions there. Oh, wait, that's 2001.
Jared's reminiscing here on the Zoom call. He put the right, hold on, hold on. Super Bowl banner up.
19. That was also the Rams. Nah, I'm just joking. All right. Here we go. Where are they at? My boys. I thought I had the picture ready to go. I guess I don't. So we'll just show Mr. Donald again. There's your Super Bowl champs, my friend. The St. Louis Los Angeles Rams. By a score, I'm gonna go a little high. What did you say?
24-20.
I'm gonna go a little higher than you. I'm gonna take the Rams. I'm gonna say 30. I'm gonna say 30 for the Rams. I'm gonna go 27 for the Bengals.
Okay.
I think I agree. It'll be close. I think the greatness. I think Joe Burrow's that good to where he's gonna keep it close. I think you put another quarterback on the Bengals, this game might even be a blowout.
Yeah.
But because Burrow is so good right now and is on such a roll that he'll keep it close, I don't want the Rams to win. My heart says pick the Bengals because I just think it's such a cool storyline and I want that city. I think it would be would that be their first championship? I believe it would. They lost twice to Montana.
I think it will be the first. I think so.
They're undefeated in AFC championship games, but they ended up running into Montana. I think in a couple of those Super Bowls, they lost to the 49ers. You have to look that up for me if you can, but it would be their first title. But I think a home Super Bowl for the Rams is not good for the Bengals. And I just think if the Bengals had a better offensive line, I'd take the Bengals. But I think Matt Stafford will show up, Cooper Kupp will show up, and Aaron Donald will show up, and the Rams will get it done. I think Stafford gets his championship.
Garrett, the league has been around for a very long time. The AFL, then also the NFL as well. The Bengals have been to the playoffs 15 times. The first time was in 1970. They have 10 division championships. The first one was AFC Central in 1970. They have been conference champions in the AFC three times, 81, 88, and then this year. Zero league championships. That's the AFL, the old American Football League, and then now the NFL, the merger of the AFL and the NFL, old school-wise. So, Garrett, we're both going Rams. I have one question for you, not about this game, but about a former Patriot player. And we're going to close out with this. I'm not going to say anything after this except for closing out the show. Do you think Wes Welker will go to the Hall of Fame? Quick answer, please. Don't want to keep the people here all night. Do you think? Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to leave it there. Not leaving my commentary. Garrett, thank you for coming back to the podcast. This has been very enjoyable. We'll have you back on again down the road. Him and I have some interesting thoughts about the NBA and the Los Angeles Lakers. Maybe they will come back on the podcast down the road. Guys, this Super Bowl preview is over. I hope you guys are planning on having fun with your family, friends, maybe your wife, your kids, your husband, whatever it is that you have. Have fun. Prepare for this weekend and enjoy the halftime show. I know I will. I know Garrett will. And I hope all of you people that are of that age group that you enjoy it as well. For the Jay Stevens Podcast, this is out for the Monday. Enjoy the rest of the week.